Our second scripture lesson is Luke 13, beginning at verse 31. Already been alluded to in the children's sermon with Kim and in my prayer. But let's hear it from the NIV, chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on a third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. It's amazing. I had a neat little story to introduce our session or our sermon this morning, but so many really powerful images have been unearthed today. I sat in the Sunday school class, and we asked Jim asked a very simple question: what's the relationship between our values and law? Think about that for a minute. What is the difference between our values and our law? And how closely do we hold to our values? I am going to use this little story because I think it's very helpful. Seems that a young man performed a small-scale social experiment, if you will, on the streets of New York City. He sat on a sidewalk by himself, leaning up against a storefront window. He held out a sign that said, "Homeless, need money for weed, drugs, and alcohol." As people walked by in the video, numerous people stopped to give him money. Some of the people who tossed money into his cup say things like, "Stay high, man. Make sure you get a big bottle." And after collecting a meaningful amount of money, his cup was filled with cash, the screen went dark. Then the video returned with the same young man dressed in the same way, but this time he has a small girl next to him. The girl is lying on the sidewalk with her head in his lap. The sign he is now holding has changed. It reads, "Homeless, single father, need money for family." This time, the response is deafening silence. As people walk by, his cup sits empty next to him. And as the little girl coughs, people step around them, trying not to look at them. And then finally, after an hour of being completely ignored, one woman stopped. This woman bent down with a small amount of cash, and she put her money in the cup. She said this, "This is all I made today, but you need it so much more than I do." Then the woman, who we learn is a homeless person herself, asked if she could say a prayer for them. And she offered a beautiful prayer, asking God to look out for them and keep them safe. As she walked away, the young man jumped up and revealed that he was conducting an experiment, that her kindness was the most beautiful thing he had seen all day. He thanked the woman for her amazing gift and handed her a whole lot more money than she had offered him. And he was genuinely touched by her generosity, calling her a hero. Now, the video ends with a quote on the screen that reads, "Sometimes those who have the least are the ones who give more." That video is available on YouTube if you'd like to watch it sometime. I can give you the address. But especially now, with the Russian invasion of Ukraine and some of the things that have been happening in our own country, we begin to wonder if evil is winning this world. When the young man asked for money to buy alcohol and intoxicants, people generously filled his cup. But when he asked for money to feed his family, one lone soul stood out in one shining act of kindness. Yes, we can feel like the world is being overcome with sin. In this morning's lesson, it must have seemed that way to those who were with Jesus. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's passing through various cities along and villages along the way, and he paused to teach in each of those villages. At one of those pauses, a group of Pharisees came to him with a warning that Herod wanted to kill him. Jesus replied, "Go and tell that fox that I cast out demons and heal the sick today, tomorrow, and the third day, I reach my goal." What a prophetic statement. On the third day, I reach my goal. In other words, I will not let fear keep me from doing what God has ordained me to do. Herod represented the political power in Israel. Everyone feared Herod's wrath. To us and to Jesus, Herod was the Antichrist, the one who opposed Jesus even from the day he was born, before the day he was born. Remember, Herod sent the wise men out saying, "Come back and tell me where he is," secretly thinking he's going to send a squad of soldiers to kill him. Herod held a lot of sway in the land of Israel. And because of his influence, the people not only lived in fear, but they also adopted his disregard of morals and ethics. Think about that. He was immoral. His ethics, he slaughtered a lot of people just because they had some shadow of a chance of gaining his throne. Didn't matter if it was family or not. And because he was the ruler, because he set the tone in the society, people started to adopt his way of thinking, his way of being. Now that's important. Hang on to that thought. The people of Israel, even the Pharisees who were standing before Jesus, are living two lives now. On the one hand, we know that the Pharisees were deeply religious people. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. He called himself the Pharisee of Pharisees. These people who had a deep desire to serve God, they followed the law so carefully, and they even invented some extensions to the law so they'd make sure that they were righteous no matter what they did or where they were. These were deeply religious people, but they're forced to live as subjects of the political and social realm of Herod. They're living in this time of Herod. Somehow, they thought they could walk that fine line between being citizens of Herod's kingdom and being citizens in God's kingdom. And you know, we modern Christians, we think that this is possible as well. We think that we can be simultaneously Christian and a citizen of Western culture. We think that we can follow our faith without being too odd, and we can be a friend of Jesus without losing our place in Herod's court. Jesus knows. He knew that these Pharisees had a foot in each camp. He knows that we, Western Christians, do the same thing. And he says, "Go tell that fox." He knew that if they could overhear Herod's plan to kill him, they must have been close enough to hear other things and to say other things. though they may not have completely pledged themselves to Herod's service, they were leaking his secret plot so that Jesus, you know, could act appropriately. But they couldn't just jump up and follow Jesus, could they? They had kids to feed. They couldn't make the empire mad or might lose their influence, their position in society. And they couldn't make this puppet king angry, or they might even lose their lives. Herod was pretty ruthless. Our society can be very ruthless as well for Christians who dare stand up. We often think we can do this. We can walk that fine line. We can be a Christian in a secular society without losing ourselves in the process. These Pharisees weren't doing anything wrong. They were bowing to Herod. The Bible even tells us, you know, whatever leaders God puts in front of you, you are to obey them. But they knew that they needed to help Jesus a little on the side. Is that what a lot of us are doing? Are we helping Jesus a little on the side? Something to think about. I tend to think this life is possible. I watch TV shows that I have no business laying my eyes on. I listen to things on, now it's on radio and TV, the kind of cursing that I should never be party to. And I think I can watch shows about sin and vice without falling prey to sin and vice. But we know it's a dangerous game. When you entertain sin and vice in your own home, it's like playing with fire. As long as it's in the fireplace, it's okay. You can cook with it, you can stay warm with it. But give it the least opportunity and it will go wild and it will burn your house to the ground. We think we can control the fox. We think we can bow to him on Monday through Friday and maintain our true allegiance to Jesus Christ. But be sure of this, that the day is coming when you'll be asked to choose. And I hope when that day comes for you, that you'll hear Jesus' words echo, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers a brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus is saying that it's always been so in Jerusalem. It's always been the city that kills the prophets, that stones the ones that God sends to it. And yet Jesus expresses the great love that God has for this rebellious city. God longs to gather these children, his children, under his wings as a hen gathers her brood. But the people of Jerusalem were not willing. I grabbed, this image comes to my mind. I think it's from one of the, probably the movie Barabbas, where Pontius Pilate puts it to the people and says, who will we save, this man or Barabbas? And they said, "Save Barabbas." And he said, "What about this one?" And they said, "Crucify him." It's amazing how many people say, "Oh, I wouldn't be one of the ones." Wouldn't you? The subjects of Herod, though they try to break away and serve God, cannot find it in their hearts to stand up for God and stand out in a wicked society. Christianity today has become very timid. Society is out there, and I can't help but think of it, that they treat Christians very much like children teach the game whack-a-mole. If a Christian dares to stand up and say something, they're going to get whacked. So that means a lot of us are more timid than we ought to be to stand up and to speak the truth. We are Christians in an increasingly secular society. Herod the Antichrist is still very active in our world today. The moral and ethical fiber of our nation is being dictated by Herod. Make no mistake, we have very little influence anymore. And almost all of us are going along with it. Just like Jerusalem, anyone who dares to speak up as a prophet is ridiculed, stoned, and laughed at sometimes. And Jesus has harsh words for those of us who would claim citizenship in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Herod. He said, "Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So the word for the second Sunday in Lent, the second Sunday in Lent is repent. Place both feet in the kingdom of God, for the day is coming when the temple will be destroyed. People will yearn to hear a word from God, but no word will come until the clouds part and Jesus Christ himself comes in great glory. A simple word, repent. Turn around, reject the kingdom of Herod, and embrace the kingdom of God openly. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Almighty God, yes, we confess. We live in a secular society, and it is secularizing us every day a little bit more. We believe things that 20, 30 years ago we never would have considered. Our faith is being eroded day by day. Only by the power of your Holy Spirit can we repent of this and turn it around. Only by the power of your Holy Spirit can we say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So bless us, O Holy Spirit. Help us to have the courage to stand up and to stoutly proclaim the love of God in Jesus Christ. For this we pray in his holy name. Amen.